Turn to Genesis chapter 4 with me. So y'all have probably been aware that over the last couple of years I've been on a journey of introspection and learning and all of this. So I've been more aware of the different holidays or awareness times within months. So this one actually was a new one that I learned about, and so it passed me by. And it didn't line up with when I was speaking anyway. So we're going to talk about it today. So June 10th through the 16th was Loneliness Awareness Week. Anybody remember what May is? Awareness. Mental Health Awareness. So June is also men's Mental Health Awareness. I did know that. So we're going to look at loneliness this morning, how it affects us, how it's an epidemic in our world right now, and we'll go through some of the issues as far as why it's increased over the last few years. But just remember that while we were participating in the breaking of bread, I came across Genesis chapter 4 while I was reading, so I wanted us to look at that real quick, and then we'll go into this message. So we're going to jump in, Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. Cain has already taken out his brother, not in a good way. And now his judgment is going to come. So God is speaking to him. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden and will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth." And then he goes on and talks about people that find him, they're going to try and kill him and so forth. And then God gives him a protective seal, basically, to protect him. So I want us to go back and look at verse 12, talking about the vagrant and the wanderer. And then 14, Cain confirms what God has said. And Cain in verse 13 says, "My punishment is too great to bear." So you start thinking about this, about being a vagrant and a wanderer. A vagrant means that you're a fugitive. Some of the action words that you think about when you think about a vagrant or a fugitive is to shake, to quiver, to stagger, to be restless. Now, pay attention to those words when we start looking at what somebody when they're feeling loneliness and these attributes that we're going to talk about. That word wanderer, it means to move to and fro, to shake, to be disturbed, to be agitated. So both words in the Hebrew are very, very similar, but they've got some nuances there as well. So when we look at these and we see these actions that are taking place with Cain and how he was feeling, he's being separated from his God. He's being separated from his family. His life is changed forever because of his sin, of course, but his life is going to be changed forever. My punishment is too great to bear. He's not going to be at home anywhere he goes. He's basically going to be a lonely wanderer for the rest of his life. So now we're going to talk about the topic, I'm so lonely. So the loneliness epidemic of the 21st century. I was going to have everybody close their eyes and then we was going to do it, but you can keep your eyes open. Or if you want to close your eyes and you think nobody else has seen you, that's fine. Who in here has experienced loneliness at some point in your life? So all of us know what that means. Now we're going to find out how it affects our lives. I just did a Google search. I'm not saying that I condone any of these songs because most of them I don't know what they are. So if the lyrics are trash, then they're just fitting in with the message for today. I'm so lonesome I could cry. I did know that one. No. No. I might sing it at home with Samantha, but I'm not going to sing it now. Song lyrics like that is one reason why I never cared for country music. I felt like I was already anxious and depressed anyway, and then when I heard country music, it just sunk me down. I could probably understand why they drank right much, most of them, back in the day. So I'm so lonesome I could cry, so lonely, scared to be lonely, all by myself, lonely teardrops, only the lonely, owner of a lonely heart, lonely together. I'd never heard this one, but I thought the title was pretty good. Super Lonely. Again, I'm not condoning or recommending any of these songs. I just They tied in with the thing. So what is loneliness? We all feel lonely at times. It's a natural human emotion. We're biologically wired for social contact, and loneliness is our signal that we need more. So when we feel lonely, it means that we need something in our life. Something is missing. If we go back to what we were talking about with Cain, how he's alienated from his God. His sins did that. This was a punishment, but he's alienated. He feels like something's missing in his life. And that's basically a summarization of what loneliness is. You're missing something in your life. So the definition, loneliness is a perceived mismatch between the quality or quantity of social connections that a person has and what they would like to have. So they may have connections, but it's not what they're really wanting. Everyone's experiences of loneliness are different. It's subjective and personal to each of us. It doesn't matter if you're an introvert or an extrovert. A lot of times we'll say, well, if you're an extrovert, how can you ever be alone, or how can you ever be lonely? And the answer is that you can have all the people around you in the world and you can still be lonely. And then we'll get on one of the other slides where it talks about this, but you can be like me and be an introvert and be alone and be quite happy, and then sometimes you will still be lonely even though you're an introvert. So being an introvert or an extrovert doesn't really matter whether you're going to be lonely or not. So the loneliness epidemic of the 21st century, in the spring of 2020, how many of us remember that? More than likely it's very vivid, and we can still think of, what was it, March 15th is when they did the 15 years to slow the curve. And then I thought, and I had just started my new job. Did I say 15 years? 15 days. We're still working on it. We're still working on it. So 15 days. And we're still working on it. So we'll roll on. Spring of 2020, lockdowns and social distancing requirements made both social isolation and loneliness a near universal experience. It was already happening. It was already increasing within our society, but 2020 was like a catapult. So here are some of the statistics that are out there. Roughly 44% of adults identify as chronically lonely. The loneliest age group, 16 to 24 years old. There is a lack of connection. This was a quote. I didn't put who said it, but it is a quote. Our biological need for connection remains, but our society has never been more disconnected. Our sense of belonging to neighborhoods has fallen, and 36% of people feel lonelier now than before the pandemic. So we see that it's increasing as far as these feelings of loneliness. Loneliness and being alone are not necessarily synonymous. A person can be surrounded by a large crowd and be very lonely. A person can be alone and not be lonely. In the scriptures, when you read through it, a lot of times when it's talking about being alone, it's really talking about being lonely. So you got to look at the context when you start reading through the scriptures, and it talks about a certain person was alone at that time, and then you read the context and they actually had a military around them, so they weren't alone, but they were feeling lonely. The Psalms are some of the greatest illustrations of what loneliness is, especially David's pouring out his heart, and I was reading some of those this morning. He's pouring out his heart, but you think about David's in battle. He's a king. He's always got people around him. One of the things that we learn about majesty and kingdoms and all of that is that the king is never left alone. He's always got some kind of guard around him. But it doesn't mean, if I've got somebody around me, it doesn't mean that I can't be lonely. It can happen. And in our society, it's actually increasing. Psalm 25:16, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. So this gives a great picture of loneliness. And again, this is David talking. So we know his situations that he's going through. A lot of battles, a lot of fighting, family dynamics and all that's going on. So he's crying out to God, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. This is what he's feeling in his soul. When you go back to Cain and you think about a vagrant and a vagabond, just can't be comfortable. You're restless. You're agitated. So what's happening to us in our society? We've got every means of communication right now. I mean, I didn't even know what this was until I had to go and take an exam. They said, we're going to check your glasses when you walk in the door, and I didn't know why. And it's because we've got Google Glasses now. You think it's like the Marvel X-Men and stuff like that, where they can see all these things from their glasses. Well, that's starting to happen. So we've got all of these instruments of technology and communication, and yet the loneliness epidemic is continuing on. That tells me that even though I'm an introvert, you need human connection. You need human conversations where you're with somebody physically. Virtual stuff is just not going to cut it. So what the world longs for, the local church can and should be offering. This community, this identity, this familial connectivity. It's not the church referenced as a family, the household of God. It's not the church called a faith community. In Galatians 6:10 talks about that, being a household of faith, a household of God. So what the world is longing for, the church should be able to offer that. And we can. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus is saying to the people, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So you think about what Jesus Christ is saying, and then we think about what the gospel message is. What does the gospel message do for us? It takes that burden off of us. It makes whatever we have, we can lay it on Him. The biggest issue that we have as human beings is that we have a sin problem. So He says to bring that and lay it upon Him. And of course, we know that He went to the cross and He died on the cross for our sins. But even as believers, do we not have burdens? Do we not have these loads of stress and anxiety and worry and concern and all of that? We absolutely do. So this right here is applicable to the unsaved and the saved. We all can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will find out that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So we as believers, I must be like my Savior, inviting, concerned, and compassionate. And most of all, I must be pointing others to Him. Some of these verses that we're going to go through, these slides, you're going to think, well, that doesn't tie in with loneliness. I'm going to tie it in with loneliness, okay? And this is one of them. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another, or your faults to one another, and pray for one another. So you think about this verse, and we've gone through James in our Wednesday night Bible study, and we've talked about this, but how many of us actually do even just this? We're not going to look at it from the loneliness part right now, but just doing this, how many of us actually do that? The majority of us don't. We hang on to whatever we're going through. A lot of times it's because of pride, it's because of fear of what people may think or whatever it may be. But we won't even really do what it's telling us to do. But we can apply it to loneliness. If someone doesn't feel safe, doesn't feel as if they are part of the community, if they are feeling lonely even when around us, will honest, open communication really happen? And the answer is what? No. If I don't feel safe, if I don't feel like I'm connected with the people, doesn't matter if it's my spouse, my child, y'all in this meeting, coworkers, whoever it is, if I don't feel safe around them, if I don't feel connected to them, I'm not going to open up my mouth and share personal things with those people. That's just human nature. Unless you're just one of these people, a hyper extrovert, and you talk so much that you don't realize all that you're spewing out of your mouth. Otherwise, if you don't feel connected to those people, you're not going to say the things that you probably need to say to somebody, but you're not going to say it to these people because you don't feel connected. So it goes back to not just confessing sins, but sharing struggles like, I just feel lonely. Sometimes we can look at somebody's face. Sometimes we can see by an action or whatever it may be, we can see that they're struggling in some area. But again, we can see it all we want, but if they don't feel comfortable talking to us, they're not going to open up. I know, because I'm that person. Is that right? Can I get an amen, Samantha? So Ecclesiastes 4:9-12. I was reading through this and I was like, that's pretty good, because it's so applicable in every area of your life, but even especially with loneliness. So two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. That's common sense. Somebody falls down, it's a whole lot easier if somebody's there to help you pick you up instead of you trying to get yourself back up off the ground. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Again, pretty self-explanatory. I get cold. Samantha knows what that means. I got to get near somebody, get the dog up beside me, or somebody's got to come near me. Somebody or something, because I've got to be warm. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. Again, just self-explanatory. You think about when Jesus Christ sent out his disciples. How did he send them out? Two. You think about when most of the time you're going out to scout a location for maybe hunting or for military purposes or whatever it may be. Most of the time it's at least two people that go out and do that. So two is better than one. Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where physically, humanly speaking, we are alone. But for those of us who are believers, we know that we're never alone. But humanly speaking, we can be. So this passage is referring to physical connections as opposed to being alone, and how that is an advantage if you shall fall down or in the cold of night. It's also applicable to the loneliness epidemic we face today. Seeing what's going on with somebody and offering a hand to them, offering the conversation to them, just being there for them. So make a friend, be a friend. My sister and I, most mornings we'll text each other just to, how are you going to start your day and all of that. So this is what she'll a lot of times put on the text. Make a friend, be a friend. Now she's an introvert just like I am, so it's like telling somebody to do this, how's that going to happen? You got to make yourself get out there and do that. So this is going to be what our calling is. Make ourselves available. Make ourselves as friendly to other people as possible, because people are lonely. People need interaction and communication and connection. Galatians 6, 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. And a lot of times we'll hear somebody will try and be encouraging to you, whatever situation it is you might be going through. So I walk up to Samantha and I say, I'm feeling a little bit lonely, and we're not married, I'm just communicating to her. She says, well, you just need to get yourself out there and do more. That's not going to help. It should be, well, why do you feel lonely? What's going on in your life? Trying to open up that person and see what's going on. Especially if it's an extrovert and they walk up to you and say, I'm feeling a little bit lonely today. Don't tell them, well, go out there and talk to more people. They've already tried that. They're still lonely. Don't tell an introvert that neither, because what they're going to do is they're going to pull back and say, I'm not talking to anybody. So again, though this is referencing sin, again, applicable to loneliness. So how is it applicable to loneliness? We are weak. We are susceptible to many things that will negatively affect us physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. We need connection. We need community. We need one another. A lot of times it goes back to this right here. And so many times, especially in Paul's letter, he's talking about these one another aspects of being believers and being connected to one another. Bearing one another's burdens. And what this means is, in this context, it's talking about this person's being overtaken by a trespass or by a sin. The ones who are spiritual are coming alongside of that person. We can say that they've confessed that sin, they've forsaken it, they repent it, and now they just feel the shame and the guilt and the sorrow because of what they have done. Doesn't matter what it is, they just feel like that. So ye who are spiritual, you're not puffing yourself up or anything, but in a spirit of gentleness, because you know that you could be in that exact same space, you're bearing one another's burdens. You're helping that person with that shame and that guilt, and basically you're putting those burdens on yourself. And again, restoring them and bringing them back up. Same thing with loneliness. If somebody's feeling loneliness, walk beside of them, talk to them, communicate with them, and encourage them. So what can be done? We're going to look at three things: connection with God, connection with believers, and connection with unbelievers. First one is connection with God. First and foremost, you must have a relationship with Him by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. This comes by hearing the gospel and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we understand that we are saved then, and then we are brought into a relationship with him. So again, the gospel is just God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So God has done the work for us. We see that, we understand that, we receive that, and then we're born again. So next thing that we can do as a child of God, as a Christian, is to read his love letter to us on a consistent basis. Not going to give you what you should be doing, but if you're hungry, then you eat. Sometimes once a day is good enough for people. Sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. If you're doing one of these special diets, it might be 6, 7 times a day. You're taking little small portions. But be it on a consistent basis, consuming the Word of God and allowing his love letter to penetrate our hearts and our minds. Of course, praying, worship, and praise. For us on Sunday mornings when we come together, we're taking of communion. The next thing that we do, once we're connected to God, he brings us into this big old family, whether we like it or not. All of us have a biological family, and we've got some in our family that we wish we weren't kin to. But that's just life, and that's how it happens. We have to love one another. So as believers, we start to develop trusted relationships where we can feel comfortable enough, loved, supported, to confess our faults to one another, to bear one another's burdens, to challenge and correct one another with words of encouragement. And again, we are the body of Christ. Christ is our head. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that dictates how the body should respond. But if you take that pinky toe and you stump it against that table, what happens? You get shock waves all through your body, and you do not function right until you address the issue with that pinky toe. You bump that elbow right there, what happens? I've never laughed when I bumped my elbow. I didn't think it was funny at all. You walk outside and there's a truck there and it's got the hitch sticking out like my Expedition does, and you walk by and you bump your shin or you bump your knee. Doesn't feel too good. All of the body feels that. Those of us who have lower back issues, if that lower back's on fire, all of your body feels that. So we are the body of Christ. We are connected to each and every believer around the world, in particular within the local body. So this is how we're supposed to do. Connect with one another and start to feel comfortable with each other. It doesn't just happen overnight. Me and Samantha have been married for 25 years, and I'm still not comfortable with her in certain areas. She's more comfortable in certain areas than I am, but we're still growing in that relationship. So it takes time, and it takes being in connection and communication with each other. We who are spiritual, all of us are spiritual because we've been born again. But the growth factor comes in as well. So observe those around us paying attention to changes in their involvement and engagement. And we know this even in our personal lives. When I'm feeling anxious or whatever it may be, you can tell that even in yourself you want to pull back a little bit. And you're not as communicative as you used to be. Samantha knows, she's like, well, he's quiet. But she knows when I'm more quiet than normal. And then that's when communication needs to start. Actively listen to others during conversations. Human beings are the world's worst. They always tell us you've got 2 ears and 1 mouth, so be using your ears twice as much as you use your mouth, and we normally do not do that. Notice that I said actively listen and not just listen. Activity, what does that mean? Movement, you're paying attention, you're focused on that person. Especially if it's somebody that you know is going through some issues and they're actually coming to you and talking to you, perk up and listen to that person. All eyes on that person while you're talking to them. I'll do this with Samantha all the time. Are you listening? Did you hear what I said? And half the time she says, what? Huh? I wasn't paying attention. Be mindful of the Spirit's prompting and obey. This is one of the biggest things that we don't depend on enough is the Holy Spirit who indwells us. He can tell us, hey, that person's got some issues. Why don't you go and befriend them? Why don't you go and talk to them? He can move in that way. I'm not talking about audibly, but he can give you an impression to go and do things. And again, getting to know one another. We're a family, getting to know each other. So number 3 is connecting with unbelievers. They're lost and on their way to an eternity separated from God and all that is good. All of us were in that place at some point before we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of us who are older when we got saved, we especially know that and remember that. Loneliness is leading many to addiction, self-harm, even suicide. So notice that the loneliness rate is increasing. It's at epidemic levels all throughout the world. The suicide rate is also increasing at an astronomical rate. People that you never thought of, well, they didn't look suicidal or anything like that, and then they're committing suicide. We know how loneliness affects us in so many different ways. We as believers, it's worse without a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about what happens to them. Go back to Cain. There's a void in this life because he's separated from his creator, separated from his God. So think about these unbelievers. They're separated from their God. They don't have a relationship with him. And they have this loneliness within them. And as Billy Graham would always preach, they've got a God-shaped vacuum in their system, in their hearts, and they need to be saved. They need God and that relationship. Hebrews 13:5, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. John 15:15. I, Jesus is speaking, have called you friends. So you think about this, we're all searching, we're all going through issues in our lives. We all at some point were like Cain, a vagabond, a wanderer, we were restless, we were agitated, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our life. And even us as believers, we still get times of loneliness. And we see that loneliness going on in our own lives. It should make us more sensitive and more appreciative to what God has done for us. So he himself, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when somebody's experiencing loneliness as a believer, what can we tell a fellow believer that's experiencing some loneliness? Jesus Christ is always there with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And add to that, I as your brother, as your sister in Christ, I will never leave you and never forsake you. I will be right here with you and support you through whatever it is that you're going through. For the unbeliever, of course, sharing the gospel, you feel lonely at this moment, but I know a friend who's going to stick with you through all time. Could I tell you about him? Could I share him with you? So get to know him. Us as believers, we can always know him more. Make a friend, be a friend, because we've got the greatest friend in the world. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you this morning. We live in a world of people that are hurting, struggling. We read the statistics of different issues that are going on. And this morning we've been looking at loneliness, and we see how it's been increasing, but it seems like it's just skyrocketed since the pandemic. We have all these technologies, we have all these resources where we can communicate with each other, and yet they're not fixing the problem. We've been reminded this morning that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's the answer to the problem. So, Father, we just pray this morning that you would just stir hearts, that you would help them to understand that the loneliness they feel can truly only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the human connection. We as believers, we need the connection with other believers. The unbelievers, they need connection with you first, but also with believers as well. And we just pray that you would help us to be a light in the darkness to direct those that we come in contact with to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we would have a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy as we come alongside of different ones that are struggling in different areas. Again, particularly with loneliness. We've all been there. We've all experienced it. There may be some this morning that's even going through it now. But we know that you can wrap your arms around each and every one of us. You can give us the comfort that we so desperately need. And you can give us that peace if we would just continue to look to you for the strength and encouragement that we need. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us. In Christ's name, amen.